I can tell you that right now. Brother Mike, you come around, preach to us, and end up this chapter. I don't know where he's going to go with it, but I'm interested in hearing what he has to say. I love you.
Isaiah 50, 11 verses of the Word of God. I have suggested to you this week and tried to prove that in this great block of Scripture, God the Father speaks, verses 1, 2, and 3. God the Son speaks, verses 4 through 9. And then God the Holy Spirit speaks in verses 10 and 11. If that's true, this is an amazing chapter of the Word of God. Amen. I was sitting down there a minute ago and I thought, well, what did they talk about? Trinity. And I thought, I don't care. If he's talking, I'm listening. It matters to me what he's saying. It'll be right and it'll be the truth. Tonight, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. And I realize I'm crossing a boundary there. We get the concluding words of the Jesus speech. And then the two verses where the Holy Spirit seems to be involved. But I have to do that if I'm going to be true to the goal of trying to work our way through the chapter. Verse 8. He is near that justifieth me. He is near that justifieth me. Now, I'm saying Jesus. Last night I sought to prove it was Jesus. He's the one whose back was smitten. He's the one whose beard was plucked out. It is our suffering Savior. And he says of his Father in heaven, he is near the one who justifies me. Jesus came to earth to do his Father's will. And I'm here to report to you, he did a good job at it while he was down here. But he, the Father, is near that justifieth me. The verb justify, as you know, means to declare right. After Jesus did it all, after he died on the cross, see what you think about, God the Father issued a report card on his Son's progress. God the Father will give us some hints as to how Jesus did. After our Savior hung on the cross those 6 hours, laid down his life for sin to be forgiven, he was taken and he was buried. And that's what Isaiah 53 said would happen. He's buried with the rich, in fact. And he was dead one day, and he was dead 2 days, and he was dead 3 days. And then God issued, hope I get an amen, a progress report. God said he's been there 3 days and three nights. It's about time I let the world know what he did was right. What he did was correct. So what did God do? Hope I get an amen. He raised him from the dead. That's exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 4, that by the resurrection Jesus was declared, he was declared to be the Son of God. I'm glad I got a Savior who pleased his Father in every way. I'm glad I got a sinless Savior tonight. That's what he says right there at the beginning of verse 8. He is near that justified. Now here's a question. Who will contend with me? There is in this whole ordeal of the cross a contender, an enemy, an adversary. Help me out. It's the devil. But watch the way Jesus verbalizes it. Who is he that will contend with me? And I mentioned last night in closing, the verb is R-I-Y-B, reeb. It is a Hebrew verb that means to sue in a court of law. That's literally what it means. To sue in a court of law. There are times that Job sued God in the court of law and said, you're going to tell me why I'm suffering. God sues Judah and Israel time and time again, brings them into court. The devil, as he looks at our Savior on the cross of Christ, he is a RIYB. He is pursuing our Lord Jesus. What he is looking for in our Savior, and Brother Steve, I'm sure he's looking for one flaw. He's looking for one weakness. He's looking for one mistake. He's looking for one single sin. I want to make an announcement. He didn't find a shred of it. Hallelujah. Who is it? Who is it that will contend with me? Who is it that wants to go to battle with? I'm so glad I can announce tonight the devil fought Jesus at Calvary. I'm just country boy. And Jesus whooped him. Hallelujah. Crushed him under his feet. Glory to God. Who is he? Verse 8. God's near that just who will contend with me. Now watch. He goes back to his father. Let us stand together. Let us stand Ahmad Yakad. It's a Hebrew construction. I tell you what it means. Jesus said it. Let us stand together. I and my father are one. Let us stand together. You see, if you're fighting, if you're an aggressor and you're fighting somebody, you want to split up your enemy. If you can get them in two or three camps, you can get that crowd, whoop them, and then come around. And the devil, he tries to split up. My father will stand with me. We are together. We are one. I'm glad the devil couldn't tear them apart. Hallelujah. Bless the good name of God, our sinless Savior. Let us stand together. Now watch. Who is my adversary? Verse 8. Who is my adversary? It's the devil. But the Holy Ghost uses a different word. Does anybody here believe every word is inspired? Does anybody believe if the Holy Ghost changes nouns, there is a reason for it? Who is my adversary? The word is Baal. B-A-A-L. Who is my adversary? I'll just quickly define it. It means who is trying to get control over me. Who is trying to be my master? Who is trying to be my boss? Who is trying to be my owner? If the devil got his way, he'd take control of everything around. And he's trying to take control of Jesus. I want to make an announcement. Hallelujah. He didn't do it. I'm thinking of the temptation of our Lord. The devil took him up to a great big high mountain. And he said, look here. Here's the glory of all the kingdoms of the world. Brother Rule, he showed it to him in a moment of time. And the devil said, if you'll just bow down, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you every bit of it. I'll give you all the glory and all. He's trying to buy the Lord. He's trying to give him a shortcut from Calvary. Still let him be. Hallelujah. Hope I get an amen. Jesus didn't bite that hook. Hallelujah. He is not going to get. Devil wants to be the boss. The devil wants to be the master. That's what Baal means. Look what, and I'll just show you very quickly. Look at verse 9. Behold, and I'm not through with 8 yet. Behold, the Lord God will help me. The Lord God. That word Adonai, let me tell you what it means in a good sense. It means the real boss, the real master. Are y'all getting that? The one who's really control. Devil said, let me be the boss. And Jesus said, ain't nothing doing. He's the boss. He's going to be the boss. He is my Lord. Hallelujah. 4 times in this servant song, Lord God, in that order, it is used here. Oh, it's God that justifies me. Who's going to sue me? Me and my father will stand together. Who's trying to beat my boss? Let him come near to me. Adversary, the devil, the enemy. Let him come near to me. I don't know. It sounds an awful lot like Jesus just looked the devil right in the face, pointed his finger, and said, "Buddy, I ain't scared. I ain't running. I said it last night, and you were, bring it on. Let's go to war. Let's go to battle. Let's engage at the cross of Calvary." Boy, I'm glad my Savior wasn't a coward. I'm glad my Lord didn't run. I'm glad He stayed true to His Father's. He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, and to Jerusalem He went. Hallelujah. I want to get it word for word, end of verse 8. Let him come near to me. I'm telling you the truth. I double checked it right there. That verb is in the imperative mood. Who said that's right? It is in the imperative mood. And, it makes you want to be extra sharp when they're checking every word in the Hebrew. And in the Greek, that little genius sitting over there, he's got her going. And all I'm saying, imperative mood. Jesus said, "Devil, get over here. Devil, present yourself. You've been wrecking lives. You've been ruining homes. You've been sending people to hell. Get yourself here. You have met, hope I get an amen, more than your mind." I read that. Jesus challenges the devil, demands it. And I think of Mark 1, I believe it's verse 11. It's Mark's account of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And it says, "And the Spirit driveth him," Jesus, "driveth him into the wilderness." Jesus came up out of the baptism waters, and the Holy Ghost said, "Next on the agenda, we're going to go meet the devil. We'll fight him 40 days out there. We're going to whip. Go on, get out there. Get out there. You're like a trainer with his boxer. Get out there. You got what it takes. You overcome him. You knock him out. Glory to God." And when God got through with the devil that day, it wasn't no TKO, neither. That booger was laying on the ground, knocked out all the way. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised when we get to heaven, we find Jesus goes out in the wilderness, says, "Devil, bring it on." And the devil's hiding behind a bush over there somewhere. And the devil's saying, "I don't want to bring it on. I don't want to mess with him. I know good and well he'll knock my socks off." But he was commanded to be there. And aren't you glad for the Savior we got tonight? Hallelujah. Just a little bit about verse number 9, if we could. "Behold, the Lord God will help me." The Lord God will help me. And the preacher with expertise mentioned it last night. The Father forsook the Son while Jesus bore our sin debt. But still, that being true, God the Father, let's put it this way. Jesus gets on the cross, first prayer, "Father, forgive them. They don't," look what he called him, "Father, Father." But when my sin debt and your sin debt was put, he didn't call him Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he, as sinners, we can't call him Father. He has taken our place. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But by the time it's over, by the time the sin debt is paid, he says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." I'm here to tell you, tonight, glory to God tonight, the Father helped him. The Father helped him in that ordeal. Glory to his name. Do you all know what we have the honor of doing tonight? We're listening to inter-Trinitarian communion. We're listening to the Son talk to the Father, and the Father talk to the Son, and the Holy Ghost is going to get a hold of it in a minute and apply it in hearts and lives. I thank God for the Word tonight. My. Behold. I got to give you that word help. It's A-Z-A-R, help. Grammatically, it means to surround. God's surrounded him. God's guarding him. But literally, every lexicon I've seen will define it to succor. S-U-C-C-O-U-R. What in the world does that mean, to succor? By the way, the Lord God, through His Holy Spirit, loves to succor us, S-U-C-C-O-U-R, as well. And what does it mean? Comes from a little Latin. Here is the Latin infinitive, succore. And what does succore mean? It may, hope you'll get it. It means to cut loose running. It means to cut loose running. There is Jesus on the cross. He needs His Father's help. And here comes the Father. He cut loose running to aid His Son dying on the cross. I want to make an announcement tonight. You do not very often get God the Father in a hurry, bless your heart. I just can't find Him in a hurry. In the back, does everything on time. Never late. I mean, that's it. But the two times Scripture hints at God the Father being in a hurry, Luke 15. There's a daddy picture of God the Father. He sees that boy. He thought the boy was dead. Sees that boy coming up the road. And old men aren't supposed to run in that culture. And he gets so excited seeing that lost boy come. Boy, he jacks up him ropes. He cuts out running down from there. He's tearing out with everything he's got. Why? Why? Why in that picture of God the Father running? He is welcoming a sinner home. Hallelujah. And right here, God the Father's a helping. He's a running to His darling Son, could I say, to get a bunch of sinners home. Amen. My Father, He'll help me. He'll help. Who is thee that shall condemn me? Who is he that shall condemn me? Listen to this. You got it? Rasha. Rasha. What in the world does that mean, to condemn? It has as its root the word for evil, sin, and rebellion. Who will condemn me? R-I-Y-B. There's a lawsuit underway. Jesus looks at the devil, and he says, examine my life. See if you can find one sin. See if you can find one error. Who will condemn me? And guess what? So far, ain't nothing showed up wrong about Jesus' life. And with great confidence, I'm announcing tonight, nothing ever will. He's a sinless Savior. Glory to God. Honestly. And we say, well, probably the devil didn't want Jesus on the cross. And that, well, he tried to kill him a number of times. But once Jesus got on the cross, all he had to do, the name devil, diabolos in Greek, balo means to throw, D-I-A, all the devil's got to do, this is what the devil is, and it's what diabolos means, he's a mudslinger. I shouldn't take the time, but give me just a minute, he's a mudslinger. I mean, you can be saved, but if you lost your temper today, the devil find out about it. He's a mudslinger. He'll tell God about how you acted. He's the accuser of the bad. That rascal's a mudslinger. And all he had to do on the cross of Calvary was come up with some weakness. Just sling some mud against our Lord that would stick. They knocked him upside the head, yanked his beard out. Surely the man will get mad. Well, he didn't. They nailed him up there and cussed him while they did. And you know, he didn't get mad. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. I'm telling you, the old mudslinger lost that day for sure. It just wasn't. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he? The slinging mud trying to condemn me. That devil, his crowd. They'll all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. See if I get an amen. The devil, a temporary problem. He better take his best shot. He may not have many more left, thank God. Hey, Could I tell you about the devil? He is a defeated foe. Hallelujah. So Dale says it's like an old garment that you wear. It's going to wax old. I've come across a little nugget I want to share with you. An old garment that, preacher, unhook it from my coat just a second, if you will. I want to illustrate. An old garment that one would wear. There is in the Bible a plethora of verbs about wearing things. One in Greek is enduo. D-U-O, enduo. It is our word endued. See if you get it. Jesus said to the disciples, y'all resurrected, Lord, go back to Jerusalem. Get up there in that upper room and tarry till you be enduo, till you be endued with power from on high. You know what that means? That means every one of us is saved here tonight, and we ought to do it joyfully. We ought to be, hope I get an amen, wearing the Holy Ghost. Oh, preacher, he ought to be wrapped around me. I ought to feel at home in him. He ought to be using me, wearing, endued with the Holy Ghost. In Hebrew, it's the same thought, but it's the verb labash, labash. I got to show you this. I found an illustration today, Judges chapter 6. Labash, enduo, the idea of wearing, the idea of putting on. And every other time I can find, we, the servants, are to put on the Holy Ghost. It says, and the Holy Ghost came upon Gideon. The Holy Ghost came upon Gideon and the literal Hebrew says this, not Gideon put on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to need some. Says the Holy Ghost put on Gideon. The Holy Ghost wrapped Gideon around his almighty self and began to use Gideon to the honor and to the glory of an almighty God. I'm glad he's endued me, but I'm glad, thank God, he can wear me if he wants to. And I want to be a clean garment if he wants to wear. Y'all okay? Let's go to verse 10. Verse number 10. I suggest there is a change of speakers. Why? And I'm going to tell you, the consensus of the brilliant minds, the commentators, do not necessarily agree. Anybody that's interested, this will take 30 seconds. I found an old Isaiah commentary years ago by a writer, his Plymouth Brethren. So was Dr. Schofield. So was John Darby. So was C.H. McIntosh, F.C. Jennings. Here's where I got the seed thought, that there is a triune conversation, three statements being made here. And I suggest chapter 50, verse 10 and 11, Holy Ghost, why would you say so? Watch. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of, I need those next two words, his servant. So far, the servant's been talking. The servant's been giving us his testimony. Now, the servant is third person. Here's the voice of the servant. It's somebody else doing the speaking. Do y'all see what I'm trying to say? If you don't, I'll go over it again, but I'd rather just get to go on with my verses. Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Hey, to be very brief, that word fear, it means to reverence, it means to adore, it means to worship with all your heart. Is there anybody here that worships our Savior tonight? If so, the Holy Ghost is talking to us. Who feareth the Lord? Oh, man, all kinds of thoughts just jump out at you, don't they? While you're praying, who fears God? So I'm saying this, agree or not, don't say it if you know. I'm figuring he's talking to saved people. Who is here that feareth, reverences, and worships the Lord? And announcement, the Holy Ghost does know who is saved. and who is not. So let's see. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? That word obey, it's shama. It is the normal verb to hear, but often it is translated to obey. Announcement. If you really hear God, you will do what he said. Oh, I bet it's a better choice. If you know God and love God, and if you hear him, you will obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus. So, somebody worships, reverences, and fears God. And obviously, now, the double qualification, they not only fear him, they obey the voice of Jesus, of the servant of God. Got to be saved, people. Can't be anybody else. But now, watch. This verse is going to take a surprising turn, a drastic turn. They're saved. They're godly. They look at Jesus as the servant. They fear the Lord. They obey. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Y'all help me. Did I read that right? Uh-oh. We got a problem. We got somebody saved, walking in darkness, and seeing no light. Announcement. If they really got saved, they hadn't all of a sudden lost their salvation. I'm boxing myself into a corner, just paint myself in. Because if they're saved, and if you can't lose it, that means you can be saved, you can be a God worshiper, and go through some dark, dreary times in your Christian life. You won't hear Joel Osteen say that. Those are the health and wealth boys. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, everything will go fine. You'll never have a bill you can't pay. You'll never have a help. The only problem with that, it don't square up with the Word of God. Some of these boys, they say, the more you love him, the better it'll be. You'll go to, Isaac Watts, must we be carried to the sky on cloudless beds of ease while others fought to gain the prize and sail through bloody seas? If you're going to serve, Paul's the other opinion. He says if you're going to serve God, you're going to be in a fight, you're going to be in a battle, and you will suffer along the way. Man, I almost wish we hadn't got to this verse. Who's among you? Fears God and obeys the voice, and he walks in darkness and he don't have no light. See, just real quickly. Job was there for a time. Paul was there for a time. I read a minute ago, Paul said, I despaired even of life. I gave up. And Jesus was there because at noon, as he hung on the cross, God cut the light out. God, the Son, refused. Why hast thou forsaken? You'd be saved, go through some dark times. There's probably somebody here tonight saved, worshiping God, going through some dark times, hadn't got the light you needed or you thought you'd have. Somebody say amen. It's now, that's the truth. It's now. Now, the Holy Ghost is going to give some advice. I like Holy Ghost advice. He's never steered me wrongly. He's the Spirit of truth, you know. He'll guide us into all truth. Here's the Holy Ghost advice. And it's probably as far as I'll get this evening. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Are y'all still with me? Only got 5 minutes. Are y'all with me? Oh my, I love him.
I know I'm saved. I've been leaning on them, and now I'm in this mess. I'm going to a valley. Job said, I wish I could find him. Oh, I look backward and forward. I can't find him. Oh, I wish he'd show up. I wish he'd. And he's going through that time. Said, trust in the name of the Lord. I'm just going to give the title of a song, but it preaches what. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Jesus. Oh, I'm glad in the dark, he's somewhere nearby. I'm glad when I'm going through the valley, his eye is still on me nonetheless. Glory, trust, trust. In our King James Bible, that Hebrew verb trust is translated just a few times, but it's enough to not care. Amen. To be careless. Amen. Hey, it's dark out here. I know it's dark. It's a little cold, too. And I can't get no prayers through. But I ain't worried about it. I hadn't got a care in the world. Hope I get it. He won't let me down. That's the idea. Careless. Leaning on him. That's why Paul can say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Hey, he hadn't forgot you. He hadn't laid you aside. Hey, we'll learn more in the dark times than we will in the bright times. We'll advance more in the valley than we will on the mountain. He knows what he's doing with us. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Holy Ghost said, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Wish I had time to talk about name. It's Shem, S-H-E-M. Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem. We say in Jed, that's the one. And what does God's name, what does it Shem mean? Hope I get some amen. Reputation. Well, that didn't get across. Renown. You judge future performance on past action. I can predict how he's going to act in the future by what he's done in the past. And if that's the truth, I'm in good hands tonight. He'll never fail me. He'll never let me down. Glory to his good name. Oh, my. Walks in darkness, has no light. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. Stay upon your God. The little verb stay. It means to lean on. Preacher, I'm just going to move this microphone stand for a minute just for illustrative purposes. It means to lean on. To lean on. Let him stay on here, but it's dark. Then find the pillar and lean on the thing. Amen. I'm glad when it's dark, I got somebody I can lean on. I need about two more minutes, preacher. Oh, you say, fella come up to me and he was mocking, skeptic. He said, all you Christians are, said you're leaners. Said you lean on Jesus, and you lean on the Bible, and you lean on God, and you lean on the Holy Ghost. I started to quote that song, hey buddy, I'm just learning to lean. I got a long way to go. I want to be a real leaner one of these days. And besides, could I make an announcement? I'd rather lean on Jesus than lean on a bottle of booze every night. I'd rather lean on Jesus than have to have a shot of some narcotic to go. Just leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. I want to say tonight, I'm glad I got a Savior who in the hard times, in the I can trust him. I don't have to worry. He's got it under control. And I'm glad I got a Savior tonight who is leanable, never moved, never budged. Hallelujah to his good name. Amen. One verse left. It's verse 11. Holy Ghost just left a message for the saved people. In verse 11, there's a message for the lost. And if you should be here tonight, lost, and it will take the Holy Ghost to show you, if I were you, I'd get saved before I left this building. Thank you, preacher.